Blog Talk Radio.
Twins fans, this is Troy Larson here, and I'm here tonight, as always, with my dad. His name is Craig Larson, and we are here tonight to bring you another broadcast of Troy's Twins Chat. How's it going tonight, Dad?
Good, Troy, especially the Twins are nice on a nice little roll again.
Exactly. Before we get talking to Twins and other baseball topics, I would like to encourage you to follow me on Twitter at Troy's Twins Blog. Troy's Twins Blog is how you can follow me on Twitter. And also, if you want to subscribe to this podcast, look for the Troy Larson Show on iTunes. The Troy Larson Show is how you can find this podcast on iTunes. Now, you and I, Dad, we're at the game today. And
yep.
What are your thoughts on the play today of the I'm a game today for the Twins.
Well, to start with, Tommy Malone pitched well again. He pitched seven innings and gave up one run. So that was a real good sign. Twins had in the first four innings, they had many opportunities to score and did not score in any of those innings. They had a lot of guys on second, third base and could not get a big hit.
Actually, the first five innings. I think when the Twins got those back-to-back home runs to go ahead, it wasn't a six.
Yeah, okay. So, but all in all, and it's unfortunate that after they were ahead 5-1, and Casey Fien gave up back-to-back homers to the Orioles too. But you know, the main thing is the Twins won the game, and it was good to see the new catcher they brought up. He had a good day at the plate and catching. I think he's on base 3 out of 4 times. He had a walk and a single and a double, I believe, a two-run double.
Yep, two-run double, and I know he scored a run today, too.
Yeah, so
I believe he scored on Brian Dozier's home run, if I'm not mistaken.
It could be. So that was good to see. You know, Chris Herrmann, when he was here, he's been here the whole year so far up until he got sent down, wasn't he?
Yes, he was up here since the beginning of the season.
Yep, and, you know, I think defensively he did okay, but, you know, you can't have a guy on the team, even if he's a backup, and he bats about 140, it just does not work. So, so they made the move and brought up Eric Fryer, who's been with him before. A few cups of coffee, hasn't he?
Yes, he was up with the club last year.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about Fryer, Daddy, he's not a. You know, he isn't really much of a hitter, but he is a good defensive catcher.
Yeah, well, he actually was hitting .299 this year at Rochester. Granted, probably not a lot of at-bats, but it's better than .140. And today, I mean, he actually looked pretty good at the plate. Of course, that's just one day, but it's a lot better what we've been getting from Herrmann. They're trying to think of other guys on the team. Aaron Hicks seemingly looks like he's a lot more confident than what he has been.
You know,
Miguel says no. I think he walked twice today and had a hit, I think. He seems to have an idea of what he's doing at the plate. He just isn't up there swinging at everything, and he's not afraid to take pitches and waiting for a good pitch for him to hit himself to hit. So that was good. You know, he played third base today, and he must have had 3-4 plays in the field, and he looked fine.
You know,
they weren't tough plays, but he made them.
You know, the thing they have said about Sano is that he is mature for his age, and I think going back to what you just said about how he's been, looking good at the plate, you know, I just think it just goes to show where Sano is at in his development. You know, he's more mature than I think a lot of these younger players that come up. But and it's only going to get better when he continues to play in the majors.
Yep. So far for him, he's been in what, 7 games now?
Yes, 7 games, and he's got a hit.
He's done a nice job.
Yeah, he's gotten hit in 7 straight games.
Yep. And obviously he's not going to hit in every game he plays in, but so far he doesn't look overmatched at all. And obviously, as we have seen, you know, he's had some extra base hits, including the home run the other day, so which he hit pretty hard. I'm just trying to check here on the box score today real quick about what exactly he did do. So, no, he's so far he's been a good addition to the Twain team. Trying to think here. Perkins got his what number save is that, 20?
Oh, 28th, I would like to go back to bat here in a second. But
okay. Trying to get back here. Okay. Miguel did have one. It's 1-for-2 with 2 walks today, and Eric Fryer was 2-for-3 with a walk. So, and Dozier had 2 hits. Plouffe had 2 hits. Aaron Hicks had 2 hits. So Hicks is up to 250, and he actually has been hitting the ball with power today. He just missed a home run right before he hit that double off the right field wall. So, is that home run he missed by probably, I don't know, 5-6 feet. It does fall, but he hit that ball extremely hard too, because we had a good view of that from where we were sitting. So, and certainly he can play in the outfield. There's not a question of that. He certainly looks a lot more comfortable, so that's a good sign too.
You know, that play he made Monday night, a lot of people are saying it's similar to it's like there. I don't know if I would necessarily say it's exactly like the catch Willie Mays made back in the 1954 World Series, but it's certainly a Willie Mays-style catch.
It's of that variety, yeah. This is a very, very good play. Yeah.
And
probably one of the better catches made all year.
And it was, you could say that it's been overshadowed by Brian Dozier's two-run walk-off home run on Monday night. But,
yeah.
You know.
It's a big play, though.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely a big play.
Yep, and then last night, you know, he had that, I remember who actually, it was Santana, I think, hit the ball, and he was on third base, and somebody was on second, might have been Rosario, I don't really know for sure. But anyway, Hicks got caught in that rundown between third and home, and he almost ended up being safe, but by prolonging it that long, it allowed Santana to go to second and Rosario to go to third, and, of course, both those guys scored after that, too.
Yeah, you know, the key, I think,
and that could have ended up being a double play ball, too.
Yeah. You know, I think if you get a rundown, Dan, I think the key is, especially if you have, you know, other base runners on, delay it enough so that the other base runners can advance.
Yep.
If you're in that a position like where Hicks was in last night.
If you can do it, you have to have some speed and you have to know what you're doing. And Hicks seemed to know what he was doing. He was very, very close to being safe at the plate. It looked like the guy just brushed him on his butt. But he was really close to being safe. By the time when who was the third baseman? Who was the chasing? Was Machado playing there then?
Yeah, Manny Machado.
He barely got him, and it was very close. It was pretty close to home plate. Normally, you're supposed to run guys back to the base. Don't run them ahead on a rundown. But they got themselves trapped, and Hicks almost pulled that one off, which has been pretty amazing. But anyway, by doing that, as we talked, it allowed the other two runners to advance into scoring position, and I think they both ended up scoring. Maybe one of them scored on a bases-loaded walk, did he? I can't remember.
I can't remember. Can you bring up a box score from last night?
I'd have to do that. But anyway, very smart play on the part of Hicks. He did a good job there. So it looks like he has a lot better idea what's going on right now than he has in the past, and that's a good sign.
How much do you think players like Tony Hunter have helped in Hicks's development up here at the major league?
I'd say probably quite a bit. He hasn't had that kind of a person around before. I think Hunter's probably helped with a lot of the people. I think for one thing, you know, Hunter plays extremely hard the game, but he also has fun, and I think he's probably a fun person to play with. It's kind of changed the whole mentality of the team. They don't give up. You can see that. I mean, they can be behind in games, and they make an effort to come back. And obviously, they're playing a lot more competitive baseball on a regular, everyday basis than they have been for quite some time. And it all starts, like we talked about last winter and we used to talk about last year, the biggest difference is they're getting good starting pitching. It makes a world of difference. You have a chance, son.
Exactly. And the Twins got that. Getting good, the solid starting pitching,
yeah.
I would say pretty much the last week.
Yep. I'm just looking at Malone here. Malone's 5-1. His ERA is 2.84 this year, and he looks very comfortable on the mound right now.
Considering the fact that he was not going to be in the rotation to begin the season.
Yep, and right now it looks like he belongs, so that's a good sign. It's nice to have a left-hander in there, too.
Yeah, actually, wait a minute. Well, Malone was in the starting rotation to begin the season, but then he was sent down to minor leagues. So
he pitched extremely well at Rochester in his four or five starts, and he found his way back. And even before, which we'll get into later, you know, they were speculating which one of the starters would be the odd man out when Irvin Santana came back, and well, it ended up being Trevor May. May is now in the bullpen, but Malone has pitched his way into the starting rotation. There's no doubt about that because he has pitched pretty well. He's probably been their most consistent starter for a while now. And you get seven innings out of him.
Definitely.
He pitched a good ball game today. Very impressive.
For sure. Let's keep on talking about the pitching here. Gwen Perkins got his 28th save. And
28 out of 28, too. He hasn't failed yet on him.
No, he hasn't bailed yet, and I believe he goes into third place, past Eddie Gordado, I think, on the Twins all time.
Oh, save list, okay. Behind was Nathan, and who's the other one? Aguilera.
I think he did pass those.
You know, Perk is having a really good year, really, really good year. Very solid, like you said, 28 out of 28, and his ERA is 1.24. Pretty hard to beat that. He's been rock solid for quite a while now. I don't think he's given up a run for quite a while. Is it in May?
No.
That's pretty impressive. So.
All right. One thing I would also like to talk about, Casey Fien.
Mm-hmm.
There are times he's good.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times like today, it's like, this is a different pitcher.
You know, his pitch location on those two balls today was not good. The ball was too high. You get high and I think in the case of who's Davis, what's his name? Chris
Davis.
Yeah, that ball was high, you know, waist high and outside. Well, for a guy who's got power like he does, that's just way too easy to hit. Who hit the other home run? Machado?
Yeah, Machado.
That ball was waist high also. You got to get the ball down lower and not make it so easy for those guys. So, and then we had one other ball game where he got spanked pretty good too recently, didn't he? With home runs? Who's that against? I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
But you know, his ERA isn't creeping up. It's 4.23 now. But like you said, you know, normally he's been really, really rock solid. But, of course, was he on the DL for 15, too?
Yeah, he was on the DL.
Maybe he's just coming back from that. I don't know that.
but Brian Dunting, Dad, he seems to be maybe on the track to turn things around because for a while he was struggling.
He was a DL person this year, too, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, hopefully he's back to what he used to be. I mean, he was a good, very solid pitcher, and of course now with Aaron Thompson, who has pitched well in April and May this year, then he kind of they've exposed him, and you know he got sent down. They brought up was it O'Rourke? I don't know what his first
name. Ryan O'Rourke, who has an ERA over 5 at the Rochester,
you know,
but
today he threw about 8 pitches and he got his 1-2-3 inning.
That would have been yesterday, Dad.
That yesterday was today pitch, wasn't it?
No, yesterday because Malone
pitched. Oh, sorry, it was yesterday, yep. It was 1-2-3, and he pitched about 8 pitches, and he got done. And I don't remember, maybe one of the batters was a left-handed batter. They brought him up, from what I understand, primarily to get left-handed batters out, because even with his high ERA against left-handed hitters, his ERA is in the ones, I think. So they're hoping that he can be a little left-handed specialist. We'll wait and see on that one. They don't have any other options except for Caleb Theobar and the left-handed pitchers in the minors, from what I understand.
And why did they not bring him up?
That one I don't know. I'll have to take a look, see how he's doing here in a minute. We'll check some of the farm guys out.
While we were talking about bullpen, Twins bullpen, the trading deadline is, well, it's still over 3 weeks away, but
mm-hmm.
You know, we're getting to that point where I think the Twins are going to have to probably go and get somebody.
No, it's kind of maybe looking more like that, unless all of a sudden some of these guys start showing better than what they have been. I mean, one of the things that has been hurting them is the middle relief pitching has not been good. The starters have been solid, and then you get to the middle of the pitching, and sometimes it's let them down. And when you have games that are on the line or games that you're ahead in, you can't have that happen. Not to the degree it's happened to them recently.
Yeah, and I don't know how many relievers you'd want to trade for. Probably for sure one, maybe two.
Maybe one, yeah. It depends on what they have to give up to. I know
that. You know, that's the thing you have to keep in mind too, because you know there are teams who are obviously going to be sellers at the trade deadline, like Oakland and Philadelphia and Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Oakland, I don't know if maybe Philadelphia and Milwaukee for sure, but I don't know if Oakland's quite in my category quite yet, but maybe they will be.
It's looking like Chicago, the White Sox would be too, but now they've been playing a little better, so who knows?
Yeah, who knows? But the thing is team to work out a trade, you know, the Twins are not going to give up one of their prospects.
No, that won't happen.
Unless they feel they can part ways with that prospect, obviously, but more than likely we're not going to give up a prospect. It's going to be, you know, some lower minor league guy for cash, for maybe some bullpen help. But, you know, I don't know. I think another thing, too, you have to look at that is I think trades are going to be hard to make if there's a lot of teams still feeling like they could be in the hunt for a playoff spot.
Well, I think I heard today that 9 out of the 15 teams in the American League are above 500. I don't know what the number is in the National League, but I thought I heard 9 out of 15 in the American are above 500 right now. I think that I don't know how much of a spread it is in the West in the American League with Houston being ahead of the other teams, but in the East in the American League, except for Boston, the other teams are within a game or so of each other right now.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, you'll probably have some competition if you're looking to trade too.
Yeah, and I think after the All-Star break, it's really gonna be telling of what's going to happen, I think. Because teams, they either go on a roll or they go on a tailspin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just the nature of the game. And
well, that's what it's all about. You know, you need to be in contention at the All-Star game break.
Yep.
And you need to play probably better in the second half of the season, and you need to be in contention in September. So you're playing meaningful games in September.
Exactly.
And usually the teams that separate themselves play better in the second half of the season. Just looking here real quick in the east of the American League, Yankees are up in Toronto by 2, Baltimore by 2.5, and Tampa by 3. Even the Red Sox, who now seemingly, I didn't realize the fact, right, they're 41-45 now. They're only 5 games out. So they certainly haven't thrown in the towel yet. And the Twins division, of course, Kansas City's up in the Twins by 4. Did Kansas City lose today?
Yep, and we have some news to report here in a minute when we get talking for the All-Star stuff.
Okay.
So
the Twins, who of course play Detroit, starting tomorrow night in a 4-game series, right?
Yeah, 4-game series. Yep.
They're trailing the Royals by 6.5 and 2.5 behind the Twins. Cleveland's 9.5 out, and the White Sox are 11. And of course, I'm just checking here. Houston's only ahead of the Angels by 2 games right now, and Texas by 6.5. But Texas has been in a slide too, pretty bad recently. They've lost 4 in a row now, and see the last, where's the last 10 thing? They're 4-6 in their last 10, so that's where things are kind of at in the American League. Even Oakland is 10 games out. So anyway, the trading thing will be interesting. It always is when you get to that deadline.
All right. Should we go into the All-Star discussion quickly and then move on into the...
Yeah, well, Mitch, you want to briefly touch on how the Twins with Eric Fryer bringing him up and what their roster moves were.
Well, quickly, I think we already touched on it, Paul, Dad, but...
Well, Fryer came up, but you didn't say how he... Because he was not on the 40-man before.
No, but Ricky Nolasco was, and it looks like that Ricky... looks like that Nolasco was out for the season.
Yeah.
Due to that impingement in his ankle.
But they say it's nerve damage or something too now?
Yeah, so he's going to have surgery, I believe, Monday.
Okay.
To get that cleaned up. And
okay, and no, Kansas looks to me like Kansas City did beat Tampa 9-7.
Wow.
So they must have come back to win that game. So anyway, that's the story. That's how the Twins, the 40-man thing, is with the 60-day DL, he doesn't have to be on the 40-man, so the Twins did not need to do anything as far as taking somebody else off in order to put Fryer back on.
No. So
that was the question, but that was solved.
Yep, that was solved. And now,
let's talk about the All-Star game a little bit.
Yep, and
specifically, let's talk first of all, the Twins' only person right now so far is Perkins, obviously very deserving.
Yep, very deserving. Gwen Perkins is voted. He will be in the All-Star game next Tuesday for the American League.
Yep.
And I would like to see him close the game out again, like he did last year at Target Field. That would really be nice.
Yep. And obviously the only other twin, the main twin that people were also mentioning was thinking Brian Dozier.
Yep.
At this point is in that, whatever that
it's
final
that,
five fan
yeah, but,
vote.
Yeah, but final five votes. At the start of today, after yesterday's vote, he was second behind Mike Moustakas of Kansas City.
Do they have an updated counter on there all the time, or just they just do it every day? Or do they have the up-to-date?
I think they just do it every day. They have not released numbers.
Okay.
So I can't tell you how wide a margin it is or not.
Yeah.
But I would I would definitely encourage you fans to go out and vote. Go online, MLB.com, TwinsBaseball.com, and vote for Brian Dozier.
And this, you can vote as many times as you want, too.
Yeah, I voted for over an hour last night. Yeah, I'll tell you what. You know what? If you have some vacation time that you need to use up, why don't you take the day off of work?
And vote for Dozier?
Yeah.
There you go.
Vote for Dozier,
yeah.
You know. But, hey, don't let your boss listen to this podcast.
No. Anyway, obviously, in the Minnesota fans' opinion, and obviously even more so than that, Dozier is very deserving of being on the team. He's got the 18 home runs now. He's leading all the second basemen in majors with home runs by a long shot. He's right up there with anybody as far as runs scored. He's one of the he's right up there with anybody as far as doubles this year, and his extra base hits I think all of the American League, not just the second baseman, but everybody. He's been pretty remarkable. Of course, today he hit another two-run home run that got the Twins the lead. So he has had an incredible year. And he's also a terrific fielder. So
I just think he's one of if it wasn't for Dozier, I just wonder where the Twins club would be at.
Yep, he has had quite a year.
So,
but anyway, Detroit did win, beat Seattle today 5-4. Okay, they played there this afternoon. I know.
And I have one more piece of All-Star news I think I should let you fans know about before maybe go back and get some other Twins.
Which may have a bearing, too, on Dozier whether to be on the team or not. No, they can actually pick him. You can go through and tell your story, but it might be another avenue for him to make the team, too.
Yeah, because, I will explain what won't happen. But but the Royals, Alex Gordon, he left the game earlier today between the Tampa Bay Rays, with Tampa Bay, with a strained groin. And it happened in the fourth inning. Alex Gordon, he was going after a fly ball hit by the Rays' Logan Forsyth. And when he got to the warning track, he twisted his left leg, and then when he ran to the wall out there, he kind of fell in pain, and that essentially allowed Forsyth to get an inside the park home run. So, and it looks like Gordon is going to be out for the All-Star game next Tuesday.
Yeah, it says, I just reading here, he's lifting onto the back of a cart and driven off the field through the gate in the right field bullpen. His head was covered with a towel. They don't know how long he'll be out or how severe it is. They're going to do an MRI tonight.
Yeah, so stay tuned, folks.
Yeah. it could have a bearing on somebody obviously being added to the All-Star team.
Yeah. However, I should also let you know that, and listeners, that that Gordon's replacement, if that is the case, and which is probably seems to be likely, would have to be the player's choice. It'd be based upon the player vote. So
of the backup players, right?
Backup
of the reserves, current reserves. It doesn't mean the guys that in that final five thing, whoever would be picked, even if it's an outfielder.
No, but
it's of the existing, the people who are already on the team, of the backup players.
Yeah, because I think
that those are picked by the players.
Yeah. So, stay tuned, folks. This could be another avenue for Brian Dozier to make the team.
It could very well be. Yep. Depending on how this final five voting goes, I think it's going to be a tough road for him to get on with that. But you never know because of the. You got Cespedes in Detroit. You have Bogarts in Boston, Gardner in New York, and Badoja, who is the fifth one, Troy?
Mike Moustakas.
No, Moustakas. And it sounds like somehow or other Kansas City seems to be able to get plenty of votes in for Moustakas. And, of course, you don't need to even ask about the Yankees in Boston as far as the potential of them getting a lot of votes for their players. So we'll see. Maybe somehow Dozier can still make it. You never know.
One thing I should tell you is Brett Favre, he has posted a video because, you know, he's a fellow Mississippian resident, Mississippi resident, and he says he's supporting Dozier. And didn't they have a video on the video board today at Target Field?
I think there was something up there.
I think so.
Yeah.
So... I don't think it's going to be an easy road for Dozier, but I think he has a, you know, the Twins have never fared well in his final vote, Dad.
No. Nope, I know that.
But, I don't know.
I don't know if we've mentioned him either before. I know Barrales, the Twins, top pitching prospect, other than, who's the other guy? The guy who went up and a cup of coffee and back down again.
Meyer. Alex Meyer.
But Barrios is now on the Rochester team, is promoted, so that's one other thing. Whose stats are they going to check here?
Caleb Fiobar.
Where's he at, Rochester?
Yep.
Okay, we'll check real quick. I hope we can get this on here before we start getting bugged about getting off. Okay. Did Polanco get moved up to Rochester, too? I see his name on the thing.
Yeah, I think so. Jorge Polanco has moved up to Rochester, too.
Oh, Theopar is 5-3, ERA 3.46 in 23 games and 26 innings.
You know, that probably would have been my pick.
Okay, well, there's another guy, Oswaldo Arcia, I've heard, too, that recently he's been on absolute tear. Well, he wasn't hitting hardly at all. He's up to 262 now, and he's got 6 home runs at Rochester. So, obviously, he's back hitting the ball pretty decent again, too. So, it'll be another interesting decision if all of a sudden they elect to take a look at him, too, again. They got so many now, it seems like an excess of outfielders, but it seems like a lot of times things take care of themselves. So, we'll see what happens there.
Yep. And, of course, the other thing to be watched, not now, but in the next few weeks, is Byron Buxton, what they do with him,
yep.
You know, because he's out with that strained thumb.
Yep. Okay.
All right. But anyway, well, I'm hearing a little robot voice tell me that the show's almost over.
Yep.
So
this weekend, four game series against the Tigers.
Yep. Yep. Detroit Tigers this weekend at Target Field. Get your tickets and. Enjoy some weather, you know, nice weather. I know it's going to be hot this weekend, but...
Stuff those ballot boxes for Dozier.
Yeah, just stuff them. Like I said before, take a day off. Maybe take Friday off, because voting ends at 3 o'clock on Friday.
Okay.
So...
Anyway, let's wrap this baby up, Troy.
All right. Well, folks, we got to go. this has been Troy's Twins Chat. Troy's Twins Chat is the name of the show. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, by looking for the Troy Larson Show. The Troy Larson Show is how you can find this podcast on iTunes. For my dad, his name is Craig Larson. Thanks for joining me tonight, Dad.
You bet. Till next time.
Yep, till next time, which will be next Wednesday. I'm Troy Larson. So on, everybody.